Heavenly Father, I just praise you and I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for this opportunity. It's always a privilege and always an opportunity, Father, to minister your word and your will to your people. So, Father, I would ask that, Lord God, that let us be as like sponges, that we take a hold of your word, Father, and as James tells us, let us not look in a mirror and forget what we have seen, but let us remember the word. Let us have it front and center, complete before our eyes, that, Lord God, each and every day that we are focused in on what we have heard on the beginning of the week so that we can walk out the week in victory. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, the question I have and the title that I'm giving you is God's resolution to you for this new year. And we're going to be looking at some things in what in which the Lord has given to us as his resolution. Amen. How many of you have had a good time, though, for the Christmas holiday? You had a merry, merry Christmas? Well, I pray that you didn't spend a whole lot of money and go broke to have a merry, merry Christmas. But nonetheless, Christmas is beyond us. And now we are about to enter into the beginning, only a few short hours away, into a whole new year. It's going to be a fresh start, a fresh slate, and it's going to be like every other time. I know it's cold outside, but I guarantee you, some of the people that don't attend in churches now in this morning, you're going to find those same people are going to deal and endure the weather. They're going to get into some. There's a million people supposed to gather at Times Square tonight, and it's supposed to go down into the negative figures. And there's going to be parties, and there's going to be a lot of laughing, and a lot of dancing, and a lot of drinking, and a lot of carrying on. And it's all for the privilege of celebrating the upcoming new year. We do it every year, amen. And along the way with having the celebration of New Year's Eve, there is what is called the proverbial resolution. Everybody makes a resolution. We resolve we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And you know what? You come to find out that it goes in one year and out the other. You can't. No matter what you think you're going to do, you can't do it. As a matter of fact, there's a rabbi who once said, "I pray that your problems in the new year are as short-lived as your resolutions." And I know what that's like. We all know what that's like. We make promises to one another, promises that we're going to not eat candy anymore. We're going to watch our diet. We're going to lose weight. I'm going to get healthy again. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do some cardio exercising. I'm going to go to church more often. I'm going to read the word more often. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. We make all these promises, but yet you come to find in a very short time, you can't do it. There's a friend of mine, he runs a YMCA, and he had shared with me that over the many years, he has found that January, because you can buy a 3-month membership at a YMCA, January, the Y is packed to overflowing. But in February, it goes back to the normal population of attendance because people have such a gusto at the beginning of the year. I promise I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it. But then it all fails. Matter of fact, there was one who was Mark Twain in 1860. It had been recorded what he had said. He said, I vow that I am going to live within my means this year, even if it means that I have to borrow money in which to do it. So we all have those attitudes. We all have those earmarks of what we're going to try to do. We're going to do things, and again, without Christ, you're not going to get it accomplished. I don't care what you promise yourself. I don't care how emphatic your promise is to yourself. It's not going to happen. Matter of fact, Paul the Apostle let us know why we can't keep a promise to ourselves. He said in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, he said, "For the things that I want to do, I do not do." I don't even know if I have that up there or not. No, I don't. He said, "For the things that I want to do, I do not do. And the things that I hate, the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing." And he says, "I have come to realize that there's a war that is raging within me." And that's what's happening with us. We make promises, and we use the New Year's Eve opportunity to make these promises of change, and then we wonder why we can't do it. Well, the reason why we can't do it is because Paul alluded to the fact in verse 18. He said, I have come to find that nothing good lives within me. That lives within me, in my flesh, there is nothing good about it. In other words, there's nothing good within me that will give me the privilege to carry out my promises to myself or to others. And so that's why Jesus said, why do you call me good teacher? There's none good except he that is in heaven. We can't do what we say we want to do. And that goes to say for our resolutions that we make. We cannot fulfill them. I don't care how hard you try. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to take 2017 and I want to move it aside. And I want us to now enter into 2018. And I want to look at some resolutions. But not resolutions that we make. Because again, we've already talked about it. We can't keep them. But I want to see the resolutions that our Lord made for us, that he wants us to live according to the resolutions that he set up. If you look at the Word of God time and time and time again, you are going to find that the Word of God says, God says himself, I will, constantly, I will. And when God says, I will, you can bet on it. You can absolutely stand true to it, because God, when he says, I will, he wants to come through for you. Amen. So what I want us to do is I want to look at a few of these I wills that Christ and God himself has made for us. And I pray that this new year, 2018, is going to be a grand year. It's going to be the most blessed year you've ever had. It's going to be a banner year, not because of something you're going to do because you can't, not because of how good you are because you're not, but simply we have to embrace God's word, receive it by faith, and if you receive God's word, God's promises, God's resolutions for you, then you are going to see that God's word is going to come to pass for us. Amen? Now, before I get into showing some of these I wills, I want to stop for a moment. Every one of you have a bulletin? Every one of you have a bulletin. Turn to the back of the bulletin, and you'll see in the back of the bulletin, you'll see where it says sermon notes. Chances are most times you don't ever take sermon notes. But I believe that it's so important for you to write down the scriptures that I'm going to give to you this morning. I am not going to give you a preaching. Normally I get up here and I'll give you a whole lot of stuff, but I felt that it was important enough for me to give you what I call a treaching. This is going to be more of a preaching teaching, because I want to bring it down to earth so that you can have identification and remember what each and every one of these I wills are all about and what God is promising us. And then when you go home, take the information that you jot down. Everybody have a pen, a pencil? You need a pen. You're good. Take the information and revisit it on your own. Look at it and read it over, and you are going to, if you have a troubled time, you can't remember what was said here, you have two different ways of going. You can get it on YouTube, and also you can get it on our webpage. You can get the information as it'll be there and easy accessible for you to be able to visit. So anyhow, let's look at the I wills of what God says he is going to do for us. The first scripture I want to give to you is Psalm chapter 32, verse 8. And there it says that God says, I will, everybody say, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. God is not saying, I'm going to try to, I'm hoping I can get it accomplished, I hope I have enough time to. No, God is saying, I will instruct you. I will continue to teach you. I will guide you. Now, I want you to understand that God is saying, I will, not you, I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way you should go. How many of you know that God has two ways in which to instruct and to teach us? God has two schools, if you will. God has a school called the sanctuary. Now, the sanctuary is a place where God shows up in his presence, and what God will do, God will give divine revelation and put it in the registry of the heart of a human being, such as myself, flesh and blood, so as to be able to convey his will to his people and give them the word so that they will grow, they will be instructed, they will be taught in the way that they should go. So the sanctuary is the one type of school that God wants people to learn from. Amen? Now, a lot of people don't want to come to the sanctuary. And I'm really not speaking to you now because you've shown dedication. But a lot of people, within a year, you'll find they don't really want to come to the sanctuary. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, do not forsake the assembling of yourself. Now, why is God saying that? Because God says in the sanctuary, in the comfort of the pews, in the comfort of the seats, in the comfort of being able to rest and be able to relax, I want to instruct you and I want to teach you. Now, there have been people that have a stuttering attitude of attendance. Some people leave and never go to any other church. They just vacated. They're mad at God. You say, are they saved? Are they going to go to hell? No. No, no. Because, see, God has another school waiting for them. And the other school that God will teach you and instruct you, if he can't teach you and instruct you in the sanctuary, he will teach you and instruct you in the storm. There's a storm that'll wait for you. Ask, if you look at Jonah, God spoke to Jonah in the sanctuary. And God said to Jonah, listen, my friend, I want you to go to Nineveh. And I want you to talk to the Ninevites. And I want you to tell them that if they don't turn it around and they don't repent, I'm going to wipe them out. Jonah said, I really don't want to do that. So Jonah took it upon himself to do his own thing. He paid his own fee. He went the opposite way. He went to Tarsus. Now God could have turned around and said, well, wait a minute here. Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh. Maybe I need to go get Bona or Donah or somebody else to go to Nineveh because Jonah doesn't want to go there. No, God says, hey, wait a minute. I called you to go to Nineveh. I instructed you to go there on my behalf. So he turned around and he got him in a storm. And the storm was of hurricane force that was going to capsize the boat. The other sailors turned around and they were scared to death. They were wondering whose God is mad at them. Jonah said, it's my God. You guys are all going to die if you don't throw me overboard. So he gets thrown overboard and the whale comes by. God sends a whalegram. He comes by, he picks him up, swallows him down. And in the course of the belly of the whale, God speaks to him again, says, hey, Jonah, guess who? What did I tell you to do? And Jonah, a light bulb went on. Then all of a sudden, he was understanding what he should have understood in the sanctuary. Church, I want you to hear me. When people vacate and they're not obedient to God's word, they're not sitting to be instructed and guided and taught by God according to the will that God has designed for them, they can do it the easy way or they can do it the hard way. But either way, when God says, I will instruct you, I will teach you, it's coming. And you can't get away from it. And I believe that there's a whole lot of storms that are coming down the pike for individuals that God never intended for you to have to live that way. Those storms are coming because of people not wanting to have a sensitive heart to the things of God and sitting in the sanctuary. Amen? So God says, I will instruct you, I will teach you in the way you shall go. And then at the end of verse 8, he says this, and I will guide you with my eye. How many of you know that we as individuals, as human beings, we have the ability to have 20/20 vision in hindsight? We can look back at yesterday and we can say, boy, I messed up here, I messed up there, I should have done this, I shouldn't have done that. And we have 20/20 vision when it comes to hindsight. God doesn't have hindsight because God doesn't see things the way we see it. God lives in what's called the eternal now. The eternal now. That's why the Word of God says, I am that I am. God is not living in the future. God is not living in the past. God lives in the eternal now. He sees everything in the present moment. Therefore, nothing can sneak up on him and nothing could shake him. And he sees the things of the past. He already sees them. He sees the things of the future. But he also sees everything, whether it be past or future, in the present now. Amen? Let me give you an idea how that is, even for us to get an understanding of that. If you were to go to a parade, and you sit on the side of the street, and you see the parade coming, you'd see the parade showing up, you'd watch all the floats going by you as you're entertained by all of it, and then you'd see the parade leave, right? But if you were in a hot air balloon, and you looked down, you would have a whole different means of looking at things. You'd see the beginning, the middle, and the end of the float all at one time, simultaneously. And that's how God sees our lives. He sees our lives in the reality of the completeness of our life from birth to death simultaneously. And so God is saying, I have perfect insight, therefore I want you to follow my direction. I will guide you with my eye. Amen. And look at chapter 50, verse 15. So we see God's not only saying, I will instruct you, I will teach you, and I will guide you. But in verse 15 of Psalm 50, he says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. He's not saying, I might deliver you, I could deliver you, perhaps I'll deliver you. He said, I will deliver you. God says this with an emphatic declaration. When troubles come your way, you call upon me. If you put me first, I will deliver you. If you believe my word, if you stay true to my word, I will deliver you. And when you call upon the Lord, I want you to know that you are not going to get a busy signal. And you are not going to get the head angel at the front desk that's going to put you on hold. God is going to speak to you immediately. And that word immediately, we have a hard time with that. We say, well, where's God? Where's God? I've been praying for the longest time. Where's God? Remember I told you a couple weeks ago, the children of Israel, for 400 years from the time of the end of the book of Malachi to the book of Matthew, 400 years they were crying out to God. And God, they thought that God had forsaken them. Even Zechariah, when he was in the temple, and he was there, and he was crying out to God, the angel of the Lord that was dispatched to him said that God had heard the cries of his people, and God had heard your prayers, and God was about to bring forth his plan. And therefore, at the appointed time, the Son of God was made manifest. Amen? God knew what he was going to do way back in the 400-year period, and they were saying, where's God? But see, God's timing of that word immediately is not our timing. Because the Bible says, in 1 Peter 3:8, it says, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as like a day unto the Lord. So our time zone and God's time zone is not the same. But when you call upon the Lord, he said, I will deliver you. And you're not going to get any hesitation, but in God's time zone, it's immediately. But it's not immediately according to our time on earth. We just have to wait upon him. We have to be patient. And when God begins to speak and God begins to bring his plan into our life, he's not going to give a checklist and say, well, wait a minute here. Let me see. Did you attend church every Sunday? Did you come to church every time the church doors were open? Did you read the word of God? No, that's not what he's going to do. When you call upon him and you put your all in all upon him to let him know that you are totally dependent on him, he says, I will deliver you. And there's no question about it. Amen. The next verse is found in Psalm 81:10. This is a good resolution that God gives for this coming year. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. You ever watch a baby bird in the nest? Baby birds are helpless. They are absolutely helpless. They can't do anything for themselves. But they're constantly, as soon as the mother bird comes and there's a little startling on the nest, right away their mouths are wide open. Because they're constantly hungry, and the mother bird and sometimes the father bird will feed them. And they are eating constantly because if you have a time-lapse photography on a baby bird, they grow ever so quickly. All of a sudden they have feathers and all of a sudden they have strength. And then all of a sudden they fly away because there are predators that will otherwise smell them out, find them out, and kill them. And so here's these baby birds. The mother bird is constantly feeding them. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to be so dependent on Him that we don't try to delve into a situation or a problem on our own strength. He wants us to be dependent on Him with our mouths, so to speak, wide with great expectation. He wants our hearts to be opened wide with great expectation. And He wants to fill it. What does He want to fill our mouths and our heart with? His words. Because His word has such a predominant anointing upon it, it's His word that'll set you free. It's His word that is going to give you, attributing everything that you need so as to be an overcomer over every storm, over every situation, over every circumstance. And when God begins to fill you with His word, He's not going to give it to you under a law of judgment, just enough. He's going to give it to you because you're under grace, more than enough. He's not going to have any limitation to the overflow of blessing that He wants to bless you with. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that our God will do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that we could ever ask and imagine. And that word ask is very powerful. Our God will do exceedingly, abundantly, far above all that we could ever ask and or think or imagine. And that word ask is so predominant because I believe that when we die and we go to heaven, you are going to find that there is such a warehouse up there with packages on the shelf, packages with your name on it, of blessings that were intended to be brought down to earth to bless you, to bring healing to you, that they never came, and they never came because you never asked. James chapter 4, verse 2 tells us, as we look at it, James chapter 4, verse 2, it's here somewhere. I guess not. I didn't put that in there. But James chapter 4, verse 2 tells us, you have not because you ask not. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 tells us, Jesus says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened. Then Jesus says in verse 8, He says, everyone that asks also receives. Not most people, not only super spiritual people, but everyone who asks shall receive what they ask for. Now let me stop there. You won't always receive everything that you're asking for, because sometimes God knows that what you're asking for through your human compulsion of what you desire is not good for you. So what God will do, God will give you something better than what you even asked for. God knows what's good for you. So in order for us to receive the better thing, He wants us to be as like a baby bird. He wants us to be totally dependent on Him, have our hearts and our mouths open wide, and as He's able to feed us, we have expectation. Because why? Because when the word goes into the registry of your heart, how are you going to overcome the battle? He's already given you the supernatural power. Therefore, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you begin to speak the word of God, you are going to see whatever problem came your way, you are going to see that you have power to destroy the power and the wickedness of Satan, and you bring forth the power of God's word, and God's word will have superlative authority over the situation, and then all of a sudden, things are going to turn around. Amen? Now, let me give you an example of that. Emma, and Emma didn't say this, but Ron wanted to make sure that I heard this. Emma has a malignancy on her nose, and Emma has to go to the doctors, and she's scheduled for Tuesday, and they feel that maybe that malignancy may have gone to the bone, and of course, they said to her, you know, we're going to take your nose off. All I said to her is, I am not going to put up with that. I talked to her on the phone a couple weeks ago. I said, I'm not going to put up with that. That is not the word of God, and God is going to heal you, and God is going to show you His hand of authority, and she said, the week that she was here afterwards, she said, I felt such a peace and such a presence of God whenever you spoke that. Ron got on the phone with me yesterday to let me know, or the day before yesterday, to let me know that there's hardly even a scab there. It's almost completely gone. the power of God's word that comes out of the registry of your heart. Now, I didn't just say, I'm not going to put up with that. I was giving her scripture. And the power of God's word will absolutely drive away anything that is bothersome to us. Amen? We need to stand on the word of God. We need to stand on the word of God. And so, Psalm 81:10, again, God says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I brought you out of destruction. I brought you out of bondage. I brought you out of the world. And I did that before you even knew it. So how much more am I going to do for you now that you are a member of my family? And we need to stand on that. Amen. I want you to turn to Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will, there it is again, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God is saying, it's my determination. My design is I am going to be there for you. No matter how bad the circumstance, I don't care how horrible the situation, I want you to know that I am there for you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And what God is intending to do for us for this new year is He wants to bless us. He wants to uphold us. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to show us that there is going to be more blessing than you can even imagine. Not just this new year, but every year and every day of our life. Now, some people might turn around and say, well, that's good news, but I don't think that it's going to happen for me. I don't believe that God is going to move ever so quickly for me, because you have to understand, my faith is bottomed out. I am in such a drudgery. Things are so bad. Nothing's changed. That I feel so low. I feel as low as a worm. Anybody ever been there? Well, God has a scripture for you too. And that scripture is found in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 14. Fear not, you worm. Fear not, you worm, Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says the Lord. You might feel that you are so low, that you have been so faithless with God, that God will never move on your behalf. And God is saying, yes, I will. Because you are my child. And if you are in a desperate situation, though you are faithless, I always remain faithful. I am not you, and my words, my promises are not like yours. I'm not a man that I should lie. You are mine because I developed you. I created you. I created you according to my good purpose. You are my masterpiece. I am working you. That's why I'm instructing you. I will teach you. I will guide you. I will do whatever I have to do. If I can't get your attention in the sanctuary, I'll get your attention in the storm. I'll bring the most horrendous storm, and you'll cry out, God, I'm in a storm. And I'll cry back, I'm the one that brought it. Because my ultimate intention is I need to grow you up in me. I need to grow you up in me. So when you are so down and out, don't look at the storm. You need to keep your eye on me, because it's not about you. It's about my determination of what I'm going to do for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. This is a great verse for the new year. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. My prayer for each and every one of us for this coming year is that each and every one of us receive a little salting of spiritual Alzheimer's. We stop remembering the things of the past. Amen? Let me tell you something. 2017 had a lot of good times and a lot of bad times. A lot of blessings and a lot of cursings that came our way. But what we need to do when the clock strikes 12 tonight and we go into a new year, we need to take 2017, we need to wrap it up in a nice little bow, and we need to put it on a shelf behind us, and don't you dare open it up again. Because God doesn't intend for us to look back at the past. See, that's why Paul the Apostle made the statement. He said it in Philippians 3:13. He said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Everybody say that with me. Forgetting those things which are behind. Let go of yesterday and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. God doesn't want us to look back at yesterday. Matter of fact, you will find that the Word of God says, any man that looks back over his shoulder at yesterday and takes his hand off the plow is not fit for service in the kingdom of God. God wants us to move forward with Him. But if you keep on looking back at yesterday, what will happen is yesterday will hogtie you. It will incarcerate you, and your present moment will be incarcerated, and you will be blinded, and you won't know what your future holds. But God ultimately wants you to know and have a little insight of what your future holds. But you're not going to see tomorrow if you're bound by the things of the past. Because what happens is the past is constantly screaming at you. You're constantly looking at it. You're despaired and dismayed by it. And it's yelling so loud that you wonder, how can I fix that? Well, you got to let it go. Because as long as you're holding on to the past, you are incarcerated into the present, and you can't see the future for one reason, because you can't hear the Word of God. People that are so broken by the past don't spend time in the sanctuary because they're overcome by their problems, and they have a disbelief in God. They don't believe that God is with them anymore. And so that's what causes this concert of constantly being overcome by whatever fraction is coming their way. And when you don't come into the house of God, you're not hearing the Word of God. But the Word of God says that the Word, by hearing of the Word comes faith. Faith comes by hearing. And so what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the unseen thing. And if you don't hear the Word of God because you're so broken by listening and looking and dealing with the past, you are not hearing the Word of God. It's not taking registry in your heart. You have no authority. Your mouth is no longer open wide. You have no expectation. And there you are absolutely froze stiff in your present moment. And all you're doing is looking backwards. And God wants you to, by faith, He wants you to get a glimpse of your future. Once you have a glimpse of your future, you're not going to worry about your past anymore, because God's going to give you a little insight, a little prelude of what it is that He has as something splendid for you. But when you have faith and you are able to see ahead, I'm going to read the first part of that verse again, verse 18 of Isaiah 43. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. And then he goes on and says in verse 19, he tells us here, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? He's asking a question here. God is asking a question here. Do you not see it? Do you not know it? Of course you don't. If you are bound by the past, you're not going to see the beautiful thing that I'm about to spring forth into your future. The new year has something wonderful for us, but you're not going to enjoy it if you're bound by 2017. You're not going to enjoy what 2018 of what God's resolution is that He has for us. He said, do you not see it? Do you not know it? And He goes on and He says, I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I am going to bring water in a very dry, barren situation. Water means the Holy Spirit. My Holy Spirit is going to go forth. And I'm going to bring life where there's hopelessness, where there's despair. If you will keep your attention on me, I am going to do great and mighty and wonderful things. I am going to turn your circumstance around for you. But in order for that to happen, you have to have your eyes affixed on my word, on me, in the sanctuary, with your mouth wide open, with expectation, not trying to fix your past. Let me be the repairer and the healer of every circumstance in your life. And if you do that, then I'm going to give you a glimpse of what your tomorrow holds. Amen? Hallelujah. And let me say this. Wherever your heart's at, that's where your mind's at. And wherever your mind's at, that's where you live. So if you are going to live in the past, that's on you. But you have to make a decision. I need to set my heart on the things ahead, on the things of God. And I want you to also know, God does not look back at yesterday. Yesterday no longer ticks in the calendar of God. God is always looking onward and upward, forward. If you read, you can read it time and time again. God will say, he said it through the prophets, tomorrow about this time. He always said, tomorrow about this time. So God is saying to us today, tomorrow about this time, you are about to enter into a whole new enveloping of a new day. It's something that I'm about to spring up before you. But in order for you to receive it, you got to let go of the past. You can't go forward if you're holding on to yesterday. The next verse, Jeremiah 33:3. I love this verse. This verse is called the telephone number to God. Did you know he had a telephone number? There it is right there. He said, call to me. Are you in trouble? Are you having a bad day? Give me a call. Pick up your cell phone. Take a moment. Give me a call. And I will answer you. I will answer you. You're not going to be put on hold. I will answer you. And not only will I answer you, I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Oh my. Did you ever notice that when you pray to God over a circumstance, you have a situation at hand, whether it's something terrible or whether it's something you're just praying for his presence or for him to give you direction? Did you ever notice that when you pray, God will not just answer that prayer, he'll begin to show you things like he'll go down a bunny trail, start showing you things that you didn't even think, you didn't even see coming. And that's how God works. When I was in Oklahoma and I was praying for an evening service, my prayer was, God, give me a strong prophetic word for these people. And he did give me that. But as I'm praying, he threw me out in left field and he said, and let me show you tomorrow. Let me show you things you don't even know that's coming. I want you to pastor. Now, I really believe that if I would have wrestled with God just a little bit longer, like Jacob did, maybe I would have won. Maybe I would have still been out there. But the truth of the matter is, when you're praying over circumstances or situations, negative problems, whatever they be, God will excite you by showing you things that you don't even know about. And while you're burdened with the circumstance at hand and you feel so alone, so broken, Jesus comes into the picture and Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. While you're praying, my Father will show you a glimpse of things you don't even know of. But what I will do, I will take the burden off of you. Let me take that yoke of oppression. Let me take the yoke of cumbersomeness and tiredness. Let me take the yoke that is breaking you and beating you down. And let me give you my yoke. My yoke is so light. There's no burden to it. It's beautiful. It's peaceful. It'll give you joy. That's what I want you to have. But there are so many people that are so complicated in their life because they won't let go of yesterday and they're broken into the moment. They can't even get a glimpse of the future. And you know what Jesus said he'll do? He won't leave you. He's not going to leave you. He says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. You know what Jesus is saying? I'll come to your house right where you're at. I'll show up right in the midst of your turmoil. I'll show up right in the midst of your negative circumstance. And what my intent, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will dine with him and he with me. I want to come to you wherever you're at, and I want to change the yoke with you, and I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to enjoy life. I've come to give you life, not to be broken and burdened and overcome and destroyed. I didn't come for that reason. I said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And you are my church, and I am not going to allow enemies of the pits of hell to come and go against my design. I've created you for victory. So you have to stand tall, and I'm going to be making sure you stand tall. So I'm coming to your house, And when I come to your house, you can be assured I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I want you to know something, that once you allow me to come in, the lock, by the way, is on the inside of the door. You have to open up the door. But once you let me in, you're never going to be alone again, because I will always be there with you unto the ends of the age. Amen? Unto the ends of the age. And so basically, while all this is going on, all these beautiful I wills, I will instruct you, I will teach you, I will guide you, open up your mouth wide with expectation, I will fill you with my word, that you will have the evidence of my word. You can speak it out of the overflow of the registry of your heart, and you will be able to destroy anything, any kind of activity of Satan that he tries to throw on you, even sickness and disease. My word will set you free. My word will heal you. And I will be there. I will take care of you. I will uphold you. I will secure you. I will do all that is necessary. I will come to you. I will come to you. And I want to have a relationship with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I promise you that. And I will give you a glimpse of the future of what it is that I'm going to do with you. I will deliver you. All you have to do is give your life over to me and believe in my word and watch what happens. And while all this is going on, here's what the word of God tells us. John 14, verse 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come, I will come, I will come again. I will come again. If you can stand on the promises of the resolutions that he has given to us of our new year, of all the promises to set us free and to heal us, and his promises are absolute. He's not going to fall short on his promises like we do in our flesh. He said, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a declaration. I'm promising you, these are the resolutions that I have put out there for you. Not just this year, every waking moment of every day of your life, this is what I want to do. And when it's all said and done, I've given you my Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised me from the dead is resident within you. Now, you have overcoming power over every situation. How do you obtain it? By getting to know me, by having a greater relationship with me. My servant Paul, he would tell you, said, I want to know Christ. Therefore, out of the union of that relationship, that he wanted a greater development of closeness with Christ, came the power of the resurrection. Christ is saying, while you're waiting on earth, I want you not to be overcome and stepped upon by the problem. I want you to stand upon the problem. I want you to resurrect above the problem. I want you to absolutely walk above your storms. And I want you to know that you don't have to have a storm in your life if you will come to the sanctuary and live in the peacefulness where I can tell you and teach you and instruct you and guide you by my word. Amen? And so along the way, he tells us, but I will let you know this. I am coming back. I am coming back. And I want to give you one more scripture. And here it is. It's found in Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Most of us know the story. In the days of Joel, the people of that time, as like the people of our time now, I think that if there was a means of looking and gauging one time zone from another, I'd say we are living in the times of Joel. Because what was happening, the people in that day, they were idolaters. They were not serving God. They were not caring about God anymore. They had handcrafted images, and that's what they were worshiping. God said, I've had enough. And they put all of their pride on how much they could actually grow. They had the barley, they had the wheat, they had the corn. They grew, and they were making tens of thousands, so to speak, within the range of whatever their monetary value was. They were making great money, and they were able to support themselves and their families. God said, I've had enough. What did he do? He allowed for the grasshoppers, for what was it? Yes. Huh? No, 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 no. It says it here, and I just forgot what they were. Locusts, thank you. He brought the locusts, and the locusts came by the droves, and the locusts ate all of the crops. They ate all of the barley. They ate all of the corn. They ate all of the wheat, and they were so behemoth that they even ate the bark off the trees. And when they had eaten everything, God said to them, he says in verse 12, turn to me with all your heart. Repent, and I will do this. He's saying, repent with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and I will do this. Verse 23, he says, be glad, you children of Israel, of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Verse 25 says, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. What an incredible promise. What an incredible promise. God was saying to the children of Israel, because of your ill behavior toward me, I need to put you in a storm. You wouldn't listen to me in the sanctuary, in the temple. You were dishonorable to me. You went and served other handcrafted images, other gods. Therefore, I needed to bring a storm your way. And you're crying out, Lord, help us. But I'm the one that brought the storm to get your attention. The locusts were God's plan. And once the locusts came, God then said, here's the real cue. You need to rejoice in the midst of the storm. You need to start praising me in the midst of the circumstance. I want to hear you with your mouth full of praise, recognizing that I'm the only one that can get you out. And I will. I will get you out. Not only will I get you out, he says, but I will restore you, and I'll give you not only the year that you lost, but I will restore to you all the years previously. What a beautiful promise that is. Because what God is saying to you and I on this day, when that clock strikes 12, all that you have possibly had, whatever has bugged you, whatever has eaten at your heart, whatever has been stolen from you, not only in this year that we stand in, but all the previous years, God says, if you will do everything that you have heard here on God's resolution, God says, I will, I promise, I'm going to give back to you all the years and all the blessings that the canker worm has stolen from you. I'm going to give it to you. That's my promise to you. And my promises are yea and amen. Can you say amen? So those are the promises that God wants us to hold on to. I pray that you wrote them down and you can revisit them on your own. But God has a tremendous, most beautiful promise of a new year that he doesn't want we, his people, we, the church, to have to live in a storm. He wants us to live in peace and tranquility. Yes, you're going to go through trials. Yes, you're going to go through, but they won't go through you. Yes, you will have times of problem, but they won't have you. There's a big difference. They won't be able to hang on to you. Why? Because you have the registry out of the overflow of your heart, God's word. And as you speak it by faith, you are going to see a disentanglement, that you are going to be set free. Can you give the Lord a shout of praise and say thank you? Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Father. We thank you for what you have provided us, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the fact that, Lord, we as human beings, we make a lot of declarations. And there will be so many millions of declarations made tonight by even Christians. But they will do it apart from you. They will do it within the mindset of their own flesh, their own heart. And Father, when it's all said and done, within a few short hours or days, it'll all fall by the wayside and they'll go back to the old routine of how they live. So, Father, I'm asking that, Father God, that this is going to be different. This is going to be different, Father God, as we have heard today. what you have shared with us, that, Lord God, we are going to stand upon your word, upon your will, upon your promises. And we know that, Lord God, that the promises of God are yea and amen. And so, Father, we surrender it unto you, and we thank you for your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.